Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Let's go.
And Johnson.
5,000 downloads, Guido.
5,000 downloads, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody who's been listening. We crossed the 5,000 threshold and just going up. We're just rocking into the sky.
Yeah, pretty cool. We appreciate it.
We appreciate that. First of all, I feel like we should start our show off like a therapy session this weekend.
Okay. All right. Dr. Phil.
I think we should all go around and say one thing that we're grateful for about West Virginia University. Scooty, I'll let you go first.
I am grateful for the all gold football uniforms.
Okay. That's good. That's great. I think that's perfect. Johnson, what's something about WVU that you're grateful about?
I'm grateful for the flagship university's representation of the state.
That's very nice.
A lot of pride in that.
Poignant. I'll say that I'm grateful for the fact that even in these times of craziness, it has been a little bit of a distraction to be able to go back and watch old WVU games that
yes.
I found on the internet and listening to the Mountaineer Sports Properties posting the Friday
Fleming Fridays
yep. that they thank you that they've been posting. So
I can agree with that.
Can I make full disclosure?
Which
this sounds serious, Scoot.
You don't know who Jack Fleming is.
My item for being grateful.
Yeah.
I said solely to get into the craw of one Scott Johnson. I don't know that I'm really grateful for it. I was hoping for a reaction.
You wanted me to go, what? You wanted me to...
Listen, Scoot, we're all in this point where we're trying to be positive because this week we have nothing good to talk about.
Yeah.
There's not anything good to talk about.
I got one good thing, but we'll save it for the end of this rundown.
All right, we'll save it for the end. How about the fact that news came out today, we record this on Monday, news came out today that John Flowers... And the TBT, the best Virginia basketball team, has pulled out of the TBT. Just a bummer.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, the right thing to do, you know, good on them for being forthcoming and taking the right precautions, but, oh, man, what a punch in the gut.
So if you haven't heard by now, players for the best Virginia basketball team have tested positive before heading to Columbus.
Right.
To go, because they were going to go to Columbus, I think, this weekend, and they were going to be in a bubble, basically. For the next, 2 weeks.
So here's the silver lining in this, right? While it may be depressing and a letdown for us, it's probably a good thing for them in the sense that one, they caught it early, that maybe they are, you know, potentially keeping others from being infected. I'm sure, you know, they would like to keep those amongst their inner circle from being infected.
Yeah,
so I
sure.
think this is
right.
It's a good thing that it was early detected. And hopefully those guys that did test positive are asymptomatic and they relatively just have to spend the 14 days at home. And hopefully the worst thing that happens to them is that they're bored.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sally. I mean, we're going to bellyache that, you know, that we're mad that we now can't watch them, but obviously you're exactly right. That's the right thing.
I hate
to
say
do.
This also. I saw a couple of photos that were, I think, tweeted out from one of their practices that they had here recently.
Yeah.
John Flowers looked like he'd been hitting the gym. He's put on some weight. Looked like he was ready to bang some people around in the low block.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay Flo looked beastly. Beastly.
Oh, and you're surprised?
I thought he looked a little thicker than Kevin Jones.
Yeah, all right.
And I don't know that I would have said the same thing in college. So J-Flo looked like he was ready to ball out.
But Sally, who follows us on Twitter, kind of said the same thing that you said, Scoot. That, you know, she said, we were looking forward to the games, but health and safety are most important. We're all saying this to the TBT guys. You're all special Mountaineers, and your lives and health come first. So everything, everybody quarantine and be
you
safe.
Don't
so,
happen to think that's a pen name for Tyrone Sally, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So, you know, it's definitely one of those things where I think they had to make, you know, there was no choice.
Yeah.
They had to do
and that's
what
I mean.
Do.
Good on them for being forthcoming and doing the right thing. I guess so Guido, you know, you're referencing some of the, you know, we had some feedback when we tweeted that out earlier that we were going to talk about it on the show. And so, Jeremy Kreitz at JM Kreitz 53, he kind of went where my mind went to is what essentially, you know, just summarize, he tweeted back, well, what happens when they, you know, someone in Columbus tests positive? And that was kind of my initial thought too, like good for them for catching it and being proactive and everything. But now you have a lot of people converging on these tournament sites, and I mean, obviously we hope that they, you know, everything's clear and clean and they're able to play the games. But yeah, I mean, what happens now though, if someone does turn up positive? I guess you're talking about not only your team, but if you've interacted on the court with another team, you know, your mind starts to go to, well, how do you scope all that in and make sure you've quarantined the right folks? And
I think in all sports right now, July is going to be the month of sorting out the COVID craziness.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got this going on with the TBT, where all those teams are landing in Columbus, Ohio in the next, well, soon this week to kind of quarantine before they kick off, before they tip off on July the 4th. You've got NBA players getting ready to head to Orlando. You've got NHL players having issues with the Tampa Bay Lightning closing down their facility as they're supposed to start heading to facilities. So I think July, the topic, a lot of talk is going to be about, you know, COVID and these athletes coming back to their practice facilities. And we've seen it in the past. This weekend was hell for college football. It was just horrific.
Yeah, and then so before we move on, because I know where you're going, but before we move on to that, we've even said now a second WVU football player has tested positive, right? So on last week's show, we said, hey, we're now, and again, we were saying, you know, Neil Brown's crew is obviously being proactive. You know, they're testing players as they come in. Someone tested positive. We talked about that last week. Now, just yesterday, we read on Metro News, I'll add it in the show notes, but someone else now has tested positive. So, you know, I don't know, Guido. It's like, I don't know how you act like we're just going to go forward.
Literally, you know, we've been seeing, you know, these players on Instagram, on social media, you know, posting pictures of them going to the facilities to work out and in the car, you know, and then you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then you have incidences like what we saw at Clemson and LSU with, you know, 25 plus cases. You know, to talk Big 12 specifically, K-State came out. They had what, 14 positive cases?
Yeah, so they're now pausing all their voluntary workouts for 2 weeks after 14 cases. Yeah.
That was 14 cases. Texas had 13 cases, but they're not pausing their workouts.
Yeah. Well,
so Scoot, that's where it starts to worry me. It's like, so how does this play into if things do happen?
The problem is there's no uniformity as far as, and I don't know that it's a Big 12 thing since all of these schools are in different states. It'd be nice if maybe the athletic directors themselves from each of the conference schools got together and said, okay, if we have X amount of positive cases, this is what we're going to do as a group. And since they're not doing that, it makes it real difficult to determine, okay, so WVU's got 2 positive cases. Things are going to still go on as normal. Kansas State had 14. They shut it down. If WVU gets to 14, are we shutting it down? I don't know. There's that. That's the problem, is that nobody's doing the same thing.
Well, and I don't
want
to be cynical, but then you're also like, let's not incentivize bad behavior either. Like, let's not incentivize.
Right.
Not that they would do that, but I'm just saying, you know, to play devil's advocate, if I know what the number is, then like, well, you know what, I have one less than that. That's
well,
where
think
we
about
are.
It this way, though. Think about it this way. So you have, you know, you have two teams in the Big 12 right now. You have K-State and Texas, who, that's for all intents and purposes, have the same amount of cases on their football squads right now. You know, 13 and 14. One program is continuing to let, you know, these voluntary workouts happen and everything go as normal. The other program says, nope, we're done for 2 weeks. How does that play out when in 8 weeks you know, we're getting ready to kick off, a little over 8 weeks, we're getting ready to kick off. Here's a team that shut down. Here's a team that got two extra weeks, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know how it's going to happen, Guido. I don't know how these sports will get played, knowing that, okay, so you've got guys that have tested positive or could test positive. Let's say I'm getting a scholarship to be a kicker, either foot, at a Big 12 school, and I don't want to risk playing because I don't want to get sick. And I know it sounds crazy, but let's say that's my personal belief is I don't want to get sick. So do I run the risk, and it shouldn't happen this way, but do I run, maybe some schools won't be apologetic for it, do I run the risk of possibly losing some scholarship money? Am I not fulfilling my duties to the school if I voluntarily sit out playing? Let's say the school keeps playing. I don't want to do it. You know, we get into a real pickle.
Well, I can't imagine they do that. I just think and everybody's been saying it. If you listen to anybody talk of any sport on any sports talk radio podcast, whatever, like every team that plays any season this year, it's like all like one big giant asterisk, you know, around everything, because nothing's normal and there's no level ground.
Yeah, I agree. And I think too, back to maybe where Scoot was going though, I think, so I'm in North Carolina. We've talked about that, you know, where we're all located. South of me, South Carolina now, especially around the Myrtle Beach area and the coastal areas, it's kind of a mess right now. And I won't be surprised if certain states regress back to like their phase one operations where they shut stuff down. They make travel, you know, non-essential travel, you know, off the table and stuff like that. Then if that happens, how do we just act like we've now sent kids back to campus? They're now doing these voluntary workouts. And then you're going to say, well, now they can't be either away from home or they can't have, unnecessary travel. So I guess where I'm going, and we're all now just in speculation mode, but I find it harder from, if you asked me a month ago, I was getting excited for football season. If you're asking me today, I'm now getting that feeling again where I'm really cynical that we're going to see a football season. I mean, what do you guys think?
That's kind of where I am too. Like, I feel the same way. Like, I think that the challenge of it is that on any level, be it professional or on the collegiate level, I don't think they care that much about fans in the stands. I don't even think they care about putting that many. I don't think they may say they do, but I don't think they do. It's the television.
I would agree.
The TV money,
right,
that is such a big issue for all of these teams. And I think that you'll see a Big 12, you'll see an SEC team say, you know what, we're going to shorten, we're going to do 8 games, or we're going to do 6 games, and it's just conference games.
Here's
no bowls, you know, just something to get money.
So, if you look at that, that's kind of to your point. If you look at the Power Five conferences and their football schedules, many of those have 2 to 3 games of non-conference games or games against the the FBS? No, FCS. The FCS, where you might, you know, WVU played James Madison, you know, in recent time. Those schools aren't really going to get anything out of the television package.
Sure.
A D1 school.
Right.
A D1 school playing a 1AA school.
So they're going to end up probably backing out, or maybe they'll fold their season, or they'll say, you know what, we'll come back at it next year. So you're going to find a lot of these Power Five conferences maybe scrambling to look for games.
Yeah, but even at that, you got to remember, Scoot, like when we play JMU, like we pay JMU $4 million or whatever ridiculous amount of money it is to play us.
Right.
Like that's JMU. They make a ton of money. Those 1AA or FCS schools, whatever you want to call them, they make a ton of money off of playing those D1 schools because the D1 schools pay them to play. There's just so much money involved. I don't know how they get around trying not to play.
Well, it'll be interesting to see it play out. But if you ask me today, my feeling is a lot different than it was 30 days ago, I think.
Well, let's move on. Let's talk about something else with WVU football, I guess, kind of footballish that I thought was kind of interesting. Doug Cross, who a lot of people know as Duggity Dog on the Twitters,
yep,
has done a lot of videos, including some pretty, you know, the Tavon Austin video, a lot of videos.
Yeah, wildly popular.
wildly popular. A lot of videos people have seen.
My personal favorite.
Okay, go ahead.
So Carl Joseph will always have a special place in my heart. But Duggity Dog's videos, just go to YouTube, search Carl Joseph highlights, sit back and just enjoy the rest of your time because they are so good. I mean, I put them right up there with the Tavon videos.
Yeah, they're great. They're good. All of his videos are awesome.
Yeah, they're all good. Yeah.
So, but apparently there's been a little bit of, he's gotten some cease and desists, some takedown notices from WVU on some of these videos.
Yeah, that's what caught my attention earlier this week. So, and I think it was actually last week, he had said, you know, probably not, he had tweeted out, probably not producing any more WVU content. You would think working my bleep off for 7 years would have built up some goodwill, but apparently not. And he's kind of captioned in there a cease and desist from the university.
That was a
shame. And then everyone started piling in the comments like, what's up with that?
Well, what's odd is I'm pretty sure within the last 2 or 3 years, the football staff themselves actually, I thought, brought him on board in like a legit position. I don't know what it was called. A hype man. Is that something that you get called, a hype man? But he gets brought on, and so I thought it was odd that he was getting let go, so to speak, or told to stop, yet I thought he was a part of the program.
So I'm going to soapbox here for a second, guys, and I'm just going to say...
Do it.
This is, to me, another example of WVU, West Virginia University, their external affairs department, and the athletic department. This is another example of them not embracing new media. This is another example of them saying, oh, we're old school. You know, if you don't have a press pass, oh, if you're not one of the insiders.
Yeah, and doesn't it seem super short-sighted? You know, you're not.
And here's the thing. And there's a lot of us, I know for a fact because I've talked to some of them, there's a lot of us podcasters in the WVU world out there that would love to have more connection with the athletic department, you know, and it doesn't even need to be just football and basketball. I know RVK, I know Josh Witt, I know all these guys would love to be able to talk to and connect with more people involved with the team. And I think that this goes to just another example, you know, what they've done to Doug and what they continue to do is to not embrace that new media and those people out there that are trying to push the program like us.
I agree. And I also wonder, like in Doug's case, why now? And I'm sure there's nuanced layers to this. You know, obviously we're not privy to the two sides conversations.
Yeah, because he's been doing videos
for
a long time.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's been doing videos forever. Why? I mean, we're all talking about these Tavon videos. Tavon hasn't been at WVU for years now. So why now? That's the thing that caught me the other day is, wow, you know, like, what? Why now? What would prompt that? So just a weird thing. And then I had also sent you guys a link to later on, I just noticed that Brian DWVU at Brian DWVU had put out a quick and scientific Guido Twitter poll later. And he just said, do you support Duggity Dog in his videos? And so it was like 90% in favor of Doug and 10% for WVU sports. So yeah, I think everyone shares your opinion. It's just like, you know, guys, why can't you embrace that? You know, what's the deal with not just, you know, seeing talent and then leveraging that, even if you're just being selfish.
The 10% have to be the guy that sent the cease and desist letter. Like, who would say no to that?
That's what I was thinking too.
Like, that's got to be the one guy.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you see the 4 of 5 dentists recommend this toothpaste. You're like, well, what's the one dude's problem?
Who's the one?
Like,
who's
come
the one?
On,
yeah,
man.
Who's the one dentist?
Yeah, what is he like?
Only like baking soda.
That's right.
But yeah, that's just my take on it. Like, it's just like another example of, Listen, WVU, like, we're all here. We're all trying to push the same thing, and we're doing it for free, and we're trying to push the same thing that you guys want out there. Let's embrace it. Like, let's embrace, you know.
Well, and it would be one, we can move on, but it would be one thing if you watched Doug's videos and you were cringing, like, oh, man, did you see that? That was so bad. No, he's putting out phenomenal stuff.
If the content, yeah, and that's the thing. If the content that's being put out is quality of some sort, like, embrace it.
Well, it'd be like somebody saying that.
You got me worked up. You got me worked up, Johnson. I know that's why you put that on the rundown. You got me worked up because
I knew it would strike a chord.
Like if you came out and said that 4 out of 5 guys say that Wes Wilson's helmet designs are great, and the one guy that doesn't shuts him down. Like, yeah, that's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, and if you can't tell, and I know there's, you know, we're not alone in this, folks. I know there's other podcasts out there. If you can't tell, we've felt it too from WWE. Yeah. You know, so.
You know. But we digress.
But we digress. Let's talk about something good, guys. Let's talk about a happy thing with WVU. Former grandson of West Virginia great Jerry West, and then former basketball player Johnny West, and his lovely professional golfer of a wife, Michelle Wee, had a daughter.
Yeah, Johnny West just wakes up every day and he's like, oh, am I the logo's son? Oh, did I tell you I was on a Final Four team? Oh, did I tell you I was married to Michelle Wee? I was reading this article. Like, it's not a bad gig being Johnny West. Like, good for him.
No, it's not a bad gig being Johnny West.
But they had definitely. Cool. So they're celebrating the birth of their daughter this week. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Right. So good
and
for him.
And you know what you forget about Michelle Wee? I mean, we don't because we're old. But remember she was like the first. I think she was 14. When she entered the LPGA,
she was like the youngest. Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
She was like the Tiger Woods of the LPGA.
You forget really that, but she was phenomenal at such a young age. So anyway, good for them. That
Scooty,
that was
a big Michelle Wee fan.
Huge.
Huge Michelle.
Huge. I was actually out in the yard today hitting a couple of balls.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Like Michelle.
It's true. Right into the pool. One more thing before we go to break, guys. I just want to say it. Kudos to NASCAR for standing up and doing the right thing today, Monday, and over the weekend. Horrible, horrible stuff that happened at Talladega this weekend with the noose that was planted or put into Bubba Wallace's garage. And then I just want to say to the person who was dumb enough to fly the Confederate flag over top of Talladega that said defund NASCAR. Does that guy think that NASCAR's like funded by the government? Like, does he think that there's
he may
it's
have
a private entity? I think
there may need to be some explaining there on
you have a lot of splaining to do.
And then like some of the tweets that have been out there have been great. Like one of my favorite ones that I saw was somebody tweeted, Hey, people who like the Confederate flag, Gilmore Girls lasted longer than the Confederacy did.
I saw that thread going around too. For the thing specifically with Bubba, this noose thing, when I read that, that's a sickening thing. And so you're right. Good on them for doing that. And, you know, I, as someone who doesn't really follow NASCAR, it makes me want to root for Bubba Wallace. I'll be honest with you, because you know, just to put it back in those folks' faces,
and
it's
he won't say this, but our good friend Johnson is secretly proud of that tweet that Gilmore Girls. He's a big fan, so he's really proud that the Gilmore Girls has actually lasted longer than the Confederacy. So he won't say that. He's a fanboy of the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, what you can't see is Scoot's Gilmore Girls shirt, because since that show was set in Connecticut,
he's got his Luke's Diner shirt on.
He's a huge fan. He's trying to deflect, but he's a huge fan of the hometown
show.
You guys
are already talking stuff that I don't know about. So clearly, you guys are bigger fans than I.
All right. Well, listen, guys. Kudos to NASCAR. We stand with Bubba and I'm glad that they're doing the right thing there. So, listen guys, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with everybody's favorite podcast game show, Bluff the Fluffs. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in high quality steel, fast opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in fast opening, high quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome back. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, you can find us on the social media. You can get us on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears On. Check us out. Find us. Like us. You can look for us on the Facebook. We're on there, too, at Got Your Ears. That's on Instagram, Twitter, all those places out there. Guys, it's time for Bluff the Fluffs. And guess what? Scooty won last week. No lie.
Yeah, he did.
I am not lying at all. Scooty absolutely won last week.
He kind of dominated.
He shut out Johnson. Well, in MLB players about West MLB players related to West Virginia.
Clearly, I know baseball, and Johnson does not.
Clearly, you won a game.
Well, I mean, you could tell who the Oakland Athletics fan is in the place,
right? Because there's, nobody's gonna talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, anyone who keeps a Rob Dibble starting lineup on their show set, I don't think can speak that kind of smack.
If you could see it now, he's got his Rob Dibble.
He nasty.
He nasty. But Johnson still leads 5-2.
That's right.
So good job.
Real talk. 5-2.
5-2. And this week, guys, kind of a light segment for you. It was West Virginia's birthday the other day. It was West Virginia Day on the 20th.
Yes.
So I thought we would do a little West Virginia quiz to see how you you haven't lived there in a couple of years.
Some Johnson, might argue that I've got more time than Johnson in the great state of West Virginia.
Yeah,
he's not a native.
No one would actually argue that.
Neither of us are natives, so it should be an interesting.
What? That's patently false.
I am the only.
That's
one that was
no.
Born.
We're not.
I'm
no,
the only
Scoot's
person.
Not going to.
Neither of us have birth certificates
that.
From the great state of West Virginia, so we should.
I do.
Listen, I'm more West Virginian than Guido because I had to leave my town because the hospital couldn't service. I had to leave the state and then come back home. That's the most West Virginia thing in the world. That's the most West Virginia statement ever.
Still born in Virginia.
Yeah. Virginia's for lovers.
Virginia's for lovers. All right. So anyways, so a little bit of West Virginia history. Just general West Virginia history and information right here, guys. So, obviously, before we started, we had a complete and total random flip of the coin. And Johnson, you get to go first.
Sweet.
Came out on top on that one.
Can't believe I lost the coin toss. Shucks.
Good job with the coin
toss.
How'd I do,
Guido?
Yeah, very good. First question is to you. These are all multiple choice this week, guys.
Good.
So. You can turn your thinking caps down a little bit.
So before we delve into this, Guido, were you a Golden Horseshoe winner?
I was.
Okay.
I don't remember any of the questions that I'm about to give you. I don't think
Johnson, were you a Golden Horseshoe winner? Were you?
No, I mean, I got close in the process.
Raise your
hand
if you took a college course in West Virginia history.
Oh, Scooty did.
Okay.
He raised his hand. It's a podcast. They can't see
it. Yeah, Scooty just can't.
It's radio.
Can't see that. It's a visual.
Scooch new to radio, in case you didn't know that. Yeah. All right, here we go. First question, Johnson, to you. Remember, correct answers get you 5 points. A steal gets you 10. And final bluff will get you 25. Johnson, what is the state insect of West Virginia? Mm. Is it the firefly? The honeybee, the centipede, or the pharaoh ant?
Oh, I hate it when you do this. The pharaoh ant is very specific. I would love it to be firefly, but I'm going to go with honeybee.
That's correct. Honeybee is the right answer.
Nice.
That wasn't until 2002 the honeybee became the official insect of Russia.
I like
is
that
the
our studio
ant a real ant or is
yes,
that
it is okay. It's a really tiny like
I like ant. That it's our like, studio audience was down the hall when they started to clap and then they rushed into the studio to finish
the
they
clap. Were like, oh man, we forgot Bluffs was
hey,
on we
minute,
gotta get in
minute.
There
and they're clapping down the hall and then you hear the
this next question is for you, Scoot. Okay. You ready? Yeah. This question is also a shout out to our buddy Troy Lilly at Cofields and Company.
Okay,
so
cool.
This kind of relates to him a little bit.
I see what
you
did there.
The Lilly clan hosts an annual family reunion in Flat Top, West Virginia, which is, and that's Mercer County, in case you didn't know. Flat Top is in Mercer County, which is known to be the largest family reunion in the world.
Okay.
Okay.
What is the average number of people that attend every year to this family reunion, Scoot? Is it 1,200, 4,000, 15,000, or 500?
I like 4,000. I feel that's a big number. I feel that's a good number.
That's also a correct number. 4,000 holds the Guinness Book World Record for the largest family reunion.
So there's a lot of cousins in here, right, Scoot? I mean you're at 4,000. You're like, you've never met most of these people, right? I mean, I'm like...
There's some stretch. There's a stretch. Like, I think you got a couple of, like... I think this was a roommate of a cousin that was a brother.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I think we got to Troy,
we're gonna hit Troy up.
Yeah,
you think,
like,
he goes?
I
he
need
can give
some
us some insight.
Deets on that.
How many? If I want to know if Troy goes to the family reunion, there's 4,000 people there. How many of those 4,000 people does he know?
Or does he get to the 3,995th person and he's like, "Hey,
who are you?
I don't remember you.
Let's see some ID."
How about like the upper level? I feel like it's almost like a corporation. Like, who's the CEO, the CFO, the COO of this Lily family?
Right.
Yeah,
I'm with
deep.
You. It's interesting. Scoot, I think you should do some genealogy. Maybe you're related and you can start.
Show up.
Yeah, you never know. All right, so we're tied up 5 apiece, and this next question is back to you, Johnson.
All right.
Johnson, easy one. I feel like this is an easy
one. Oh, boy.
Johnson, what is the oldest town in West Virginia?
Okay.
Is it Harper's Ferry, Lewisburg, Shepherdstown, or Wheeling?
I honestly am drawing a blank on this. I'm going to go.
It's multiple choice. You
can
pick one.
No, I know, but I feel like I should know this from my upbringing, and I do not. So now I'm stalling to try and think of an answer. I'm going to go with Wheeling.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Scooty, 10 points and the steal. The oldest town in West Virginia. Is it Harper's Ferry, Lewisburg, or Shepherd's?
I've got to believe the oldest town is going to be somewhere probably east of the 1763 proclamation line. I'm going to go with Harper's Ferry.
Ooh. Sorry, that's incorrect, but you were on the right track.
It's Shepherdstown.
It's Shepherdstown. You are correct. Shepherdstown would have been
the correct
answer.
Was that a shot across the bow for me? Because, I mean, I'm like...
You kind of lived in that area.
Yeah, I'm growing up 20 minutes away from Shepherdstown.
The proclamation of 1763 definitely said no settlers west of the Appalachian Mountains. Johnson, I thought you should know that.
And yet you still got the answer wrong as well.
I mean, you were born way east of the Appalachian Mountains in Winchester, so that makes sense that you would struggle with such a question. But go on, Guido. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So we're still tied up 5 apiece. Scoot, this question is back to you and kind of appropriate. What is the state amphibian of West Virginia? Is it the horned frog, the northern red salamander, the Appalachian newt, or the cricket frog?
Okay, so it's definitely not either of the frog-like species. So I think it's going to either be, so you said what kind of newt?
The Appalachian newt or the northern red salamander?
I'm going with the northern red salamander.
That's a correct answer. Northern red salamander. I don't even know if the Appalachian newt exists.
I was getting ready to ask you that. I always try to pick out the one you just like randomly throw in there. It probably eats pharaoh ants. I have a feeling.
It probably does. Hey, pharaoh ants are real.
They are.
I didn't make
those
that one.
Those are real.
All right. So Scoot, you now take a lead 10-5, and we're back to Johnson. Johnson, this will be a fun one. What is the state fish of West Virginia? Is it the brook trout, the largemouth bass, the brown trout, or the lake trout? You got 3 different trouts there and a bass.
I'm going to go with your first trout.
You're going to go with the brook trout?
Yeah, the brook trout.
That's correct. Brook trout is the right answer. All those trouts can be found in West Virginia, but the brook trout is the state
fish. I kind of wanted to say largemouth bass just to say largemouth bass, but...
Well, you just did.
But you just did.
So I satisfied it there.
Yeah.
All right, boys, we are tied up. Scooty, next question is to you. After the Civil War and our separation from the state of West Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia said that we needed to repay 1/3 of its pre-war taxes. How much was that? Was that $4 million, $140 million, $12 million, or $32 million?
Well, times were different back then. The dollar stretched a little further. I'm going to go with $4 million.
It's incorrect. It is not $4 million. Johnson, for 10 points and the steal, was it 140, 12, or 32 million?
I'm going to go with 32 million.
That is incorrect. The correct answer would have been $12 million.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That they said that we owed them after the Civil War, that we then finally repaid in 1939.
Really? We did it?
Yeah.
Interesting enough, I believe the Louisiana Purchase was a $32 million. So for the size of the Louisiana Purchase, about a third of that was what we had to pay to become West Virginia.
Anyways, there you go. So we go into final bluff now, guys, all tied up, 10 apiece.
Oh, boy.
And this one, we'll see what happens. So before we start, guys, final bluff worth 25 points. Everything's tied right now, so whoever gets this right wins. As we do every week, you guys get to make your own buzzer sounds. Scoot, what's your buzzer this week?
My buzzer this week is going to be ramps.
He's stealing it. He's still stealing it back from Johnson.
I was lucky with it last week.
I know. I know. See, that's like the lucky, that seems to be the lucky final bluff buzzer. So, Johnson, what's yours?
I'm going to go with Duggity Dog.
All right. I like it. Shout out to Doug and do the Duggity Dog. Add Doug. You should have to say, add Duggity Dog.
Okay, I can do that. I can handle that.
Because that's his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Right? All right. All right, so here you go, guys. Final bluff. Don't forget to buzz in once you want to guess. Multiple choice. Can't buzz until I read all the answer, all the choices. Here we go. What percentage of West Virginia is covered in trees? Is it 43%, 75%, 67%, or 93%?
Ramps.
All right, Scooty buzzes in early.
I believe the cities and towns are very small. I'm going to go with 93%.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. That is incorrect. Johnson, back to you for the steal and the win.
Let me hear my choices again.
Your choices are 75, 43, 67.
I'm going to go with 67%.
Oh, man, Scooty, you can steal it back. So we've got left
ramps.
43 and 75%. What is the correct answer?
75%.
That is correct. 75% of West Virginia is covered in trees. And Scooty pulls off a win 35-10 over Johnson. And he's making a comeback, boys. He's coming back. He's got the W. Johnson now leads 5-3. Scooty. You're coming back.
That's right. Ramps.
Is that, you think it's the ramps?
It
you
is.
Think it's the
it's
ramps?
The ramps call.
I think it's the ramp that he's stealing.
I've actually started using ramps. I've gone out and found some ramps.
The ramp corridor is so excited for him right now. Corridor Man. Ramp is celebrating each of these wins.
All right. Congratulations to Scooty for coming back. Wins another Bluff the Fluffs 2 weeks in a row. He's on a roll, folks. Well, listen, let's take a break, and we'll come back with everybody's favorite new segment on Got Your Ears On. It's a segment we like to call, I Can't Believe My Ears. We'll be right back. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia owned and operated company that specializes in heavy duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Johnson's kind of like the hub of everything.
Yeah, it is the hub of everything. So if you go to gotyourearson.com, you can see the latest show notes that go with the show. You can find all the links to our social media, and you can either decide to play the latest show right in the browser, or you can click on the links to where Guido has us hooked up with all major podcasts. So check it out.
Yeah, definitely, folks. Check it out, gotyourearson.com. All right, guys, it's time for our weekly segment of nonsense that I like to call I Can't Believe My Ears. Scooty, what do you got?
Okay, so as you are aware, and most of our listeners are aware, that the world seems like it might be in some sort of crazy tilt, some sort of unusual spin. Our world is upside down, if you will.
Oh, really? I hadn't noticed. Are you speaking?
Are you speaking metaphorically?
Yes, a little bit. So, there was a story out there that came out this week of a gentleman who his name is Daniel Thorson, and he was away for 75 days in a remote cabin in northwestern Vermont.
Okay.
As part of a Buddhist monastic community, and he left back in March.
All right.
He just recently came out of the cabin.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Only to find all of these things going crazy. Can you imagine not knowing that they're actually comparing him to Rip Van Winkle?
Like, he is. He's like a modern day Rip Van Winkle.
He disappears, comes back out, and he's like, so what did I miss?
They're like, everything. The world is ending.
Like, between the illness and race relations and political craziness.
And Scoot's like, Cobra Kai season 3 is on Netflix now. You're not going to believe
that's it. That's all I want to talk about. I know it's on Netflix instead of YouTube, so I can definitely not use my YouTube premium subscription, which was ridiculous in the first place.
You're not going to believe
it. Yes, now you can get it on Netflix. He told the New York Times he hadn't installed the COVID operating system when he walked into a Shaw supermarket, so he was struggling with going into grocery stores and stuff. I'm sure there's apps and things he's supposed to be aware of. He said everyone's been kind of on a retreat for the last 2 months, so he feels like in the same way that there's a lot of things in common because we've all been staying at home, and he was staying at home up in northwestern Vermont.
Well, I've often said I'm going to take a week off of work or something, and I'm really going to try to get away, but I never get away to the point where that away. I mean, that is really connected. Getting away.
Like that's solitary confinement getaway. For 75 days.
That's crazy.
I think you make the choice at that point. Like, if I walk out of the cabin and all of that's going on, I'm like, I'm going to go back to the cabin, guys.
Maybe you do another 75 days, see what happens. See if you can change your luck.
Maybe. Going to Vegas and gambling.
And I guess you could say, if you could do 75 days, you could do another 70. I mean, it's not,
Right. Obviously, you have the capacity.
Did you have a job? Did he have a job? You can't have a job. You can't have a job and do that, right?
And is it like being on the show alone? Do you have to, is it a fully stocked cabin, or do you have to provide for yourself?
I don't know.
I can handle a fully stocked cabin.
Coach Huggins is probably asking himself, is it Naked and Afraid? Because that's Coach Huggins' favorite television show.
I mean, that's crazy to me. Have you ever been to northwestern Vermont, either of you two guys?
I have, yes.
Negative.
It's very similar to West Virginia. Some more pine trees. Yeah. But I mean, that's about it. I mean, it's colder, obviously, but it's not terrain wise.
There are places in northern Vermont and sort of northwestern Maine that make West Virginia look like New York City.
I 100% agree. I mean, there are towns in Maine that don't have names, they just have numbers. They didn't know what to do. They're like, let's just give it a
Maine
number.
Maine 78135.
Yeah. It's woodsy. And a lot of people from West Virginia, I think that they are the woodsiest place around, and there's no place more woodsy than West Virginia. There's parts of New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine. I would even say upstate New York. You get north of Albany, and it gets a little weird.
Scoot, are you calling potential listeners' woodsiness into question? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, so I'm saying that our listeners could be woodsy.
I mean, I'm just saying that I think I could go back. I could go live right now. I feel like I could go live in a cabin for 75 days and not have any connection with the world.
Feels refreshing is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes Scooty's internet's like living in a cabin for 75 days.
Tell me about it. Suddenlink, if you're out there, do the right thing. Fix me, for God's sake.
Oh, man. rough for them. I'm sure there's a lot of Suddenlink executives listening to our podcast. There goes our Suddenlink sponsorship, yes, right out the window. But yeah, I think I could live. I could go up and live in a cabin, Scoot. Like, what would you like? Could you live like? Imagine now, Scoot. You of all people. Like, I feel like Johnson and I could probably do it. I don't feel like you could do it at all, Scoot. I don't feel like you could go to a cabin. First of all, the hair would be an issue. 75 days.
Oh, man.
That would be the biggest issue. You beat me to it.
Is there electricity in this cabin? If it's like rustic, I got problems.
I feel like if you didn't know all the current events that have gone on for the last 75 days, I'm not banking on there being electricity there.
I agree. That's a problem. No electricity means that there's probably...
there's no Cobra Kai.
No Cobra Kai.
Yeah, good luck with season 3.
And I'm a social person in general, so not talking to somebody... I mean, it might be cute for like 3 days. After that, the last 72 days would be freaking miserable.
Well, and look.
You'd be talking to trees and stuff.
There's no cheese.
Oh, my God.
I mean, unless he's making his own cheese. I mean, there could be cheese. There could be cows.
You got a random cow in the woods in Maine.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like if you're going to live in a, you're going to live in the middle of nowhere, you're going to have a cow.
Let's say I do have this random cow. I don't know how to make freaking cheese. Like, what am I doing? Am I churning a butter? Like, what am I doing? Do I like, churn something to make
you're
cheese?
You're like talking to the cow and you're like, hey, where's the closest cheese like, store? I need to
what
get
do
cheese.
I do? I just keep your milk in a bucket for a while? Is that turn it into cheese?
I feel like those two sentences that you just said, even if I had this random cow, I don't know how to make cheese. I'm pretty sure you've never said that phrase
before. No, but like, I mean, I know there's more to it than you just keep the milk in a bucket and it turns into cheese. So like, how else would I make this cheese? I don't even know.
I'm glad you know that. I mean, I feel good.
The people at Kraft are like, oh, thank God they almost had our secret recipe.
Like, listen, I love the people at Kraft. They do delicious things. I just don't know how to do this cheese, and I don't know that there's a you got to do something with the cow. Like, do you have to exercise it?
You got to do something with the cow. What?
Like, to keep it in good shape. You're in the woods with a cow.
You got to get some cow dumbbells.
I don't know, like, you
got to
walk
weights.
It do you walk your cow?
You guys are doing calisthenics.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I think you got to walk the cow to keep it in shape. I've seen people do that.
People in Vermont are like, look at this dude. Hey, look at this dude with a cow on a leash walking him around.
And I assume, I mean, I don't know this. I've never really gotten close. Actually, I digress. One time I had a cow lick my hand. It was disgusting. I thought had mad cow. So I was looking for a amputation of my right hand. But
there was not enough hand sanitizer.
Oh,
in the world.
My, I mean, I just like, whew, it was bad. I was in the shower for hours. So certain cows are not going to produce the cheese I need, right? Or the cheese, like,
cows don't produce cheese.
Like, so
they
produce the milk,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I
Scoot,
get it.
This is so far off the. What are we talking? Like, no, there's no. Oh, get the cheese cow.
I mean,
deep dive into. Scoot, how do you think cheese is made?
I mean, it comes from the milk of a cow. I get it. But certain cows are not going to produce the milk I need.
You don't know what
milk. I don't understand what that means. You don't know what milk you
need. I know, I'm just saying.
I mean,
like,
I guess if you said, hey, I want some goat cheese, I guess a cow would not produce the
milk. Because it is, in fact, not a goat, but otherwise.
Ain't nobody more backwoods than Turtle Man.
Look how flustered I got him just by telling him there's no cheese for 75 days. He hasn't even thought about other food and water and base. I mean, he's still stuck on if he can get this random cow to give him random cheese.
I'd have to eat fish.
If I'd have to get, well, you might be, maybe there's a lake you can.
I would have to. I mean, that would be my main source of protein.
Fish.
Yeah.
You feel like you could catch a fish?
I can catch a fish.
No, I feel like we're going to.
Well, I can catch a fish.
When's the last time you caught a fish?
I think I've seen Scoot catch a fish.
Yeah, I think he has seen me catch a fish.
Barehanded, like a bear in a trout stream.
Noodle. I would noodle trout. They just come up to me. I grab them.
I feel like when Scoot caught a fish, Seabass put the fish on
probably.
His hook and was like, Scoot, reel it
Maybe.
In. Reel it
it
in.
May have been like that.
And I had a push button release on my.
That may or may not be what I saw.
And it was Snoopy.
Oh, man.
But
if anybody out there listening has a cow that is in somewhere in the central West Virginia area the Ohio Valley area. Let's hook us up. Scoot will come. We want Scoot to come. I want you to teach him how to
milk
a cow.
No, I am not touching a cow.
Do I get to wear gloves? I will pay $100. Johnson and I will each throw in $100. That's $200 right
if
there.
If I can wear gloves.
Yeah, you can wear gloves. You can wear rubber gloves. I'll let that. I mean, I should go against that, but I want to.
Like, here's the thing, fellas. You're this cow, right? So I got to get on these udders, right?
You got to get all up in these udders.
Like, that's close to where they pee, so there's going to be a lot of, like, like, crossing my... do I get a splash guard? Like, I don't want the thing to pee on me while
wearing
I'm...
wearing one of, like, the COVID face guards?
Yeah, like, I don't want... Like, while I'm getting at these udders, I don't want...
get on these udders!
I don't want this thing to pee on me. And I don't want flies. Like, flies, like,
well,
to hang
I mean,
out with that kind
of stuff.
Just
steer clear of the plumbing, Scoot, and just concentrate on the cheese area.
Well, I mean, it's close. I'm up in there. I'm up in that bad spot. A cow. It's not like... And some of these cows are temperamental. I've watched it on TV. They get real mad. And...
I've watched it on TV.
They get real fat and sassy on people pulling their udders.
Oh, man, we got to make this happen, Johnson. We have to find somebody
who
has a
cow. Yeah, I mean, now I'm interested.
Near Scooty.
Now I'm genuinely interested.
This is somehow turning into like a podcast / Impractical Jokers punishment.
Remember that show with the Hilton girl where they made them go do
stuff?
Yeah. I feel like that's what Scoot would be doing.
Oh, yeah, and Lionel Richie's
daughter. Lionel Richie's daughter was on it, right. That's what that's like our, we'd have to do
this
a version
like
of that.
This is like Dirty Jobs.
Yeah, but I feel like Mike Rowe, he was all about.
Yeah,
he wanted to go do the dirty job. Like, you don't want to do the dirty job at all.
No, not really, no.
Mike Rowe was not worried about the cow peeing on him.
I don't think Mike Rowe was. All right, well, listen, we should probably on that wrap this week's show up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget, check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears. And find us on Facebook and check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Guys, we appreciate you listening. Please don't forget to like and subscribe, share. And we can't wait to see everybody the next time that you hear Got Your Ears On.